Becker. Episode 9, The Long, Long Trail.
The Queen of the Rockies. I'd been there for over a year now. Hardly ever left. It was the nature of the job. And quite frankly, there wasn't anywhere I really wanted to go. Until I met Fiona, that is. Then everything changed. I had reasons to come down the mountain, to take her places I'd avoided for years. Tonight it was Sam Chan's Chinese-Canadian restaurant. In the old days, Sam loved to surprise me with the real thing. He still did. And Fiona Highwood rose to the challenge. We laughed, we ate a lot, we enjoyed ourselves. While up at the hotel, someone neither of us knew was coming to the sad end of a long, long trail.
I've never eaten like that before.
Sam's a great cook, if you're prepared for a challenge.
Prepared? Oh, I'm dying for one.
How's that?
Nothing ever happens around here.
Well, some people like it that way.
Yeah, but they still want a little action in their newspaper. A little big city crime.
So what about Adam Sterling?
Who?
That gambler we caught last week.
What's so great about this Adam Sterling?
He was running a high-stakes operation. Definitely big city style.
Nobody's interested in gambling. Most people can't see that there's anything wrong with it.
Then you could tell them the truth.
Which is?
Families lose their homes. Children go hungry.
Good men despair.
It's not funny, Fiona.
I was just teasing.
Well, we're here.
Yes, so we are. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe I should follow you around. The next time you have a gambling case, that is. I could do an article about you.
Nothing to write about. I just try to see what's in front of my nose.
You're still more exciting than a bake sale. I could make a hero out of you, Becker.
I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
The real heroes never are.
We better say goodnight.
I guess so. Tomorrow comes early. Why does one always revert to cliches at times like this? Well, seriously, it's been a wonderful... Oh, hell. Can you hear me? Oh, pardon the language. Good night. Tell me when you're ready. To become a hero, that is.
Becker! Becker! Over here, Becker.
Mr. Hickey?
Where have you been?
What's up?
Somewhere other than where I should be is the answer, Becker. We've had a robbery.
Oh?
Is that all you have to say?
Well, you haven't exactly given me a lot to respond to, sir.
She's in my office.
The thief?
The victim, Becker. If I had the thief, I'd have little need for you, would I? Miss Thomas, I'd like you to meet Mr. Becker, our detective.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. I work for the hotel.
But you can get my money back?
We'll try.
That's good, because until you do, I can't settle my account.
I beg your pardon.
Let's find out what happened first.
There's not a lot to say. I was robbed. £200.
Pounds?
I brought it from England.
When did you discover it was missing?
This morning.
Do you have any idea who might have taken it?
I'm afraid not.
Did you have any guests?
Of course not.
Anyone who might have known where you kept the money?
No.
The staff? A maid?
No.
So it just disappeared.
That's it. It just disappeared. You can ask all the questions you like, but I can't tell you anything else.
Well, perhaps you could tell us if you've given any consideration to how you'll settle the account.
Let's wait until I've had a look at the room. What's the number?
Mine? Oh, 312.
Good. Now, you make yourself comfortable.
Excuse me. I have a good deal to do this morning, Becker.
I'll only be a few minutes, Mr. Hickey.
Come in. Oh, excuse me, sir. Mr. Becker. Are you looking for something?
Yes.
It's Truly, sir.
Truly. You've been cleaning this room all week.
Yes, sir. Got a good tip, too. £5.
That's quite a tip. But the thing is, Truly, the lady says she's been robbed.
Not by me, she wasn't. I hope she never said I had anything to do with robbing her.
No. I just wanted to know if you noticed anything since she's been here. Anything unusual?
Well, I don't know if you'd really say it was unusual, but she's been here for...
5 days.
Yes, 5 days. And she hardly goes out at all. And she's always dressed up. She's got a lovely blue dress. I think she's waiting for someone, poor soul.
Any idea who?
Her fiancé, maybe?
Perhaps.
I can tell you one thing, Mr. Becker. Someone was here. These two glasses were on the table.
Oh? Where exactly?
One was here. And the other was over here, in front of the chair. And there's a broken whiskey bottle in the fireplace. I was cleaning up when you arrived. And the fire. That's unusual, isn't it? Who has a fire in July?
Had she used the fireplace before?
No.
You're sure?
I'd have remembered. It's such a messy job to sweep it out, especially now with those bits of glass mixed up in it.
Well, you can stop for the moment.
Sir?
I'd like you to leave this room exactly as it is.
You mean leave everything? My broom, the pail?
Everything.
These glasses, too?
I'll take them.
You think you could tell what's in those glasses with the sniffs?
I think you should get on with your work, truly.
Yes, sir.
And not a word to anyone about this.
I don't know, Mr. Becker. It's about the most exciting thing that's happened to me in a long time.
Try.
I sense that you don't quite believe me, Mr. Hickey.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Are you speaking to me?
I was saying that I didn't think you believed me.
Is there some reason that I shouldn't? Come... Ah, Becker, you're back. You found something, I hope.
A couple of glasses and a broken whiskey bottle.
A whiskey bottle?
Do you want to tell me about them, Miss Thomas?
What do you mean?
You told us there were no guests.
Oh, yes, but he wasn't what you'd call a guest. Just a man I met in the dining room. He came up for a few minutes.
You invited a gentleman to your room?
Yes, it was his whiskey. We had a drink and he left.
Without his bottle?
I broke it. I dropped it by accident.
And it hasn't occurred to you that he might have stolen your money?
How could he? I did go down the hall for a towel to clean up the spill, but he wouldn't have known where it was. You think he took it?
Can you describe him?
Handsome. Sandy hair. Blue eyes. I don't think he was staying here. Probably long gone by now. His name was Alexander. Sandy.
Sandy? You got quite intimate for such a short visit.
I think we'd best go into town and report this to the police.
Do you think there's any point?
Oh, the point, young lady, is that you owe this hotel $143, and we expect you to honor that debt.
Yes, I expect to as well.
I'm happy to hear it.
There's lots of things I can do, and I'm used to work.
You're suggesting that we employ you?
If we don't find the money.
I'm afraid there's no question of that.
Then what am I going to do?
Well, if you'll take my advice, you'll make every effort to find the necessary capital, stolen or otherwise.
But I haven't got it.
And never have it, I suspect.
Please, that's not true. I was robbed.
Come on, miss. I'll take you down to the police station.
Tell the sergeant that the Queen of the Rockies considers this moral decay a very serious matter indeed.
So tell me this. What kind of a robbery victim leaves the maid a 5-pound tip?
She's not telling us everything, that's for sure. On the other hand, when you...
There you go again. On the one hand this, on the other hand that. Now, the only real question is what we're going to do with her.
Well, can't you put her up somewhere?
Me? Where?
Give her a cell if there's nothing else.
Give her a cell? I've got Whiskey Dan sleeping it off in the corridor. I've got Jimmy Splint in for slicing up his girl again, and I've still got your gambling friend.
Adam Sterling?
We don't see the magistrate till next week.
Well, I guess he'll think twice before he gets up another game.
You think so? Right now, Sterling owes so much money to Jimmy Splint, I've had to give him a cell to himself. He'll probably get his throat slit the minute we release him.
What's going on here?
What?
Why is that woman shivering out there on the bench?
She's reporting a crime, if it's any of your business.
Then why is she being treated like a criminal?
She's not being...
Don't make excuses, Sergeant. This poor woman has been robbed. At least get her a cup of tea.
Of course, Miss Highwood. Right away. What was I thinking?
You sure got him buffaloed.
I'm glad to see there's something that amuses you.
I was attempting to get her a place to stay when you barged in.
What's wrong with the hotel?
Hickey's convinced that she's skipping out.
You agree with him?
I don't know.
This woman didn't come all the way from England to cheat the Queen out of a few dollars.
That's not the point, Fiona.
So what is the point? She can't pay her bill. Period. That's it. Aren't you the least interested in why she's here? Don't you want to know her story?
I'll check out what she told me. I'll see if we can locate her visitor, but frankly, she might be better off if I didn't.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means if she's hiding something, which I think she is, you better think twice before you start digging things up. You might make things worse.
I'm ready to take the chance.
But is she?
She doesn't have a choice. We either find out her real story or she slips into the shadows as another example of contemporary moral decay.
You've been talking to Hickey?
How do you think I knew she was here? Mr. Hickey thinks a little press coverage might discourage future felons from imposing on his hospitality. I guess you'd agree with that.
Fiona.
Okay, she's got her cup of tea.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Now we just got to find a place to put her.
Oh, didn't I tell you? I'm taking her with me.
You are?
Is there a problem with that?
No. You're welcome to her.
Good. Then we'll be on our way. If you do decide to look into it, Becker, my deadline's Thursday morning.
Deadline?
Nothing as stale as old news.
And there was no one else.
I told you. Excuse me. Hotel switchboard, good evening. Yes, sir, right away. There's not much more I can tell you. No one else checked out.
Just four men and a boy.
And not one of them under 50, except for the boy.
No handsome men with sandy hair.
You're the only handsome man in the hotel right now, Becker. But don't get your head swollen. It's a particularly disappointing week.
You should have told Miss Thomas before she checked in.
You think she was here for that?
I'm not sure what she was here for, but whatever it was, I think she was disappointed. If Mr. Hickey's looking for me, I've gone to take another look at the room.
She's got to you that, Miss Thomas, hasn't she?
No, not Miss Thomas.
Hey, wait up, you big palooka.
Jimmy, I haven't seen you for a while. Say, you read any good books lately?
Yeah, The Sun Also Rises.
It's good?
Yeah, the real two-fister. I'll loan it to you.
Well, thanks, Jimmy. I gotta run now.
Hey, hold it. I need a little more than your thanks, Becker. I got a business proposition.
Bellboys with business propositions are always trouble, Jimmy.
Strictly legit.
What do you got? A 20-pound note?
From England.
There's a piece chopped off it, Jimmy.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Now, why do you think that is?
Oh, who knows? All you need is more than half.
You think there might have been something on this bill that might have identified it? Something that's been removed?
It's possible.
Where'd you get it?
I can't tell you, Becker, but I personally vouched for the donor.
So what's the deal?
Well, I've been asked to change that note into the coin of the realm. Small bills. I am, of course, extracting my customary 10%. Which I'm prepared to share with anyone who can save me the effort of going into town, which, as you know, is very hard on very short legs.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do.
The deal is non-negotiable, Becker.
I'll just keep this bill.
What?
Until you tell me where you got it.
That's blackmail, Becker.
I need to know this, Jimmy. It might have come from a robbery that was reported this morning.
Aw, Becker, you know I wouldn't pass you stolen goods.
Not knowingly, Jimmy. But then you might not ask.
Room 312 appeared much the same as it had this morning, except that the overhead lights had been turned on. Someone had been here since I left. I bent down to look under the bed. There was no one there, but someone could easily be hiding behind the closet door. I grabbed the door handle.
Gotcha! Fiona!
Oh, Becker, you scared the life out of me.
What are you doing here?
Looking around.
You didn't get much out of Miss Thomas, then.
I didn't know you were interested.
You find anything?
Just what you see.
Oh, and what's that?
Was this a test? Two glasses on the table, a broken bottle in the fireplace.
And?
Why don't you tell me?
There are a few ashes in the fireplace as well. The maid was cleaning them up when I arrived.
So she burned something, then... It looks like she threw the bottle into the fire.
With a fair amount of force.
She doesn't seem the kind of person to get that angry, does she?
People aren't always what they seem. Smell these glasses.
Only one of them's been used.
She could have been expecting someone who didn't come.
Which means there was no visitor. Which means... Oh, why would she lie?
To keep us looking in the wrong direction.
And she really wasn't robbed.
Well, maybe, maybe not. A little while ago, one of the bellboys gave me a 20-pound note. He was looking to get it changed.
You think he got it from Eileen?
No, not likely. He'd have to know whoever he got it from. He never goes out, so it had to be someone who worked here, which means someone who could get into this room.
It's not that hard.
So I noticed.
But you think the note was one of Eileen's?
There's not a lot of English money floating around.
So what's the story?
We don't know.
That's it? We don't know? Damn it, Becker, this is important. You have to prove it. She's innocent.
I'm only a detective, Fiona, not a magician.
I know. You can only, what is it, see what's in front of your nose.
Yeah, that's about it. Except there is one more thing you can see.
And what's that?
What's not in front of your nose. I enjoyed that, keeping Fiona guessing. I enjoyed having her along, showing off a bit. Now, I was pretty sure I cracked it, but I couldn't take her with me. For over a year, the hotel had been my family. They'd looked after me. I wasn't ready to expose any of them to a journalist. Not even Fiona.
Oh, it's cold up here, Julie.
It's not so bad. I used to be in with 8 other girls. Now I've got one roommate, and she works nights in the laundry. Did you find out what you were looking for, Mr. Becker?
Not yet, but, didn't I ask you to leave room 312 alone?
I did. He saw me leave.
But you went back, didn't you? You took the pail you were sweeping the ashes into.
I couldn't leave a dirty pail.
And that wasn't all you took.
What do you mean?
I mean, you could be in a lot of trouble.
What trouble?
Just give me what you took, truly.
You really think you know everything, don't you? All right. Turn your head away. I don't have more in this box to keep all my things in. Here. Now, would you mind going? Take them.
Envelopes?
That's what you want, isn't it? She threw them in the wastebasket.
That's it?
You want to search the box?
Well, why did you take them?
My brother collects the stamps. They're from hotels right across Canada, Montreal, Toronto, Winnipeg. There's no letters in them.
These are addressed to Mrs. Alexander Stockholder.
Yeah?
The lady's name is Thomas.
Oh, they don't very often tell us their names, Mr. Becker.
Yes, well. Oh, one other thing, Julie. What about this banknote?
Where did you get that?
Do you know anything about it?
I know it's mine. She gave it to me as a tip.
You said she gave you £5.
Would you have believed me if I said 20?
Who cut the piece off?
I did. I suppose you want that, too.
You've got it?
I thought I might need it.
Well, why'd you cut it off?
A 20-pound note's a beautiful thing, Mr. Becker. About the most beautiful thing I ever seen. I didn't want it to look all dirty and the like here. Look at that. You see what I mean?
I spent the next morning on the phone. Then I hurried down to the Cascade police station. A couple of hours later, I had commandeered Sergeant Drake's desk, and I was sitting across from Miss Thomas and Fiona. The sergeant paced back and forth behind me, glowering with all the weight of the law. You recognize these envelopes, Miss Thomas?
Let me see.
The maid found them in your room.
Yes, these aren't Eileen's, Becker. They're addressed to a Mrs. Alexander Stockholder.
Perhaps she is Mrs. Stockholder.
There is no Mrs. Stockholder.
Ah, I see. But there is a Mr. Stockholder, Alexander Stockholder.
Do I have to answer these questions?
No, but it would help us to understand what's been going on. And if we understand, we might be able to help.
Help? How?
We might save you from being charged with making a false police report.
Becker.
What do you mean?
I mean that you didn't have a visitor with blue eyes and sandy hair, and you were not robbed. At least not in the way you reported. In fact, you made up your story from beginning to end.
Becker, I didn't know what else to do.
Tell me about Alex Stockholder.
What do you want to know? He's a man who... We were engaged to be married.
So, you weren't exactly...
Mrs. Stockholder, no. He just liked to call me Mrs. Stockholder. It was a promise of sorts. We were going to be married as soon as he was established.
Established?
Here in Canada. He came out here a few months ago. He was setting up an import business.
Importing?
Liquor, spirits. He was trying to line up contracts with hotels across the country.
Was?
It was more difficult than he thought, and more expensive. He kept writing home for money.
Your money?
I was happy to send it. But after a while, it began to run out. So I wrote and told him I was going to have to come now, if I was going to come at all.
Where did you write to him?
He has an agent in Montreal. And he did receive the letter because he replied by telegraph, suggesting I meet him at the Queen of the Rockies.
And so you came all the way here?
From London.
But he didn't arrive.
First I thought something might have happened to him. Then I realized he just wasn't coming, that he'd simply been using me. That's why I spent 5 days in that hotel room, waiting. I read through his letters again and again. They were beautiful letters, but they all came down to the same thing. Money. He wanted the money.
So you put the letters in the fireplace and...
Excuse me?
There didn't seem much point to the letters once I'd realized he wasn't coming. So I burnt them. I'd had a little too much to drink.
And then you burnt the money.
The money, too?
Whiskey's a powerful thing.
I'm not a drunk. The whiskey was for him.
You threw £200 in the fire?
And I smashed the bottle. I promised myself he'd never get another penny from me.
£200?
180.
What?
There's still this.
A £20 note?
Most of one. The maid cut the burnt edge off.
Oh, yes. It must have blown out of the fire. She found it in the morning.
So that's how you knew.
It wasn't difficult to figure out where the rest of the money went.
Give it back to her, Mr. Becker. I don't want a penny Alexander Stockholder can get his hands on. That's an end of it. I'm sorry for the trouble I've caused.
Don't worry about that.
I simply couldn't bear the idea that anyone would know. But I've been such a fool. I'd rather do anything than have anyone know that. If only...
He'd kept his word?
Yes, that. But I was really wondering if it would change anything if he knew what he'd done.
It doesn't, usually.
Would you like to find out?
How would I? You know where he is?
Yes.
You know?
Miss Thomas?
Perhaps you should sit down.
Yes. I feel almost faint. I wonder if you have somewhere I could... Sergeant?
You mean, yes, it's basic, but...
I need to be alone for a moment.
It's right this way, miss.
Thank you. So, how'd you find him?
Detective work.
Oh, come on. You can tell me while we're waiting.
All right. Take another look at those envelopes. What's the first thing you notice? After the name.
They're all hotel stationery.
Exactly. The McDonald in Montreal, the Dominion in Toronto, and the Sifton in Winnipeg.
Mr. Stockholder liked his luxuries.
And he was a man of habit. Look at the postmarks. One letter a week. 4 weeks in Montreal, 4 in Toronto, 3 in Winnipeg. If he kept to his schedule, he should have arrived here 3 weeks ago.
But how did you know he was coming here?
He was hopping from Grand Hotel to Grand Hotel. The Queen had to be the next stop, but he didn't arrive. Or, more accurately, he wasn't registered.
Which means he wasn't here.
Well, that's what I thought until I called the Sifton and discovered that he hadn't been registered there either. Then I called the Dominion and the McDonald. Alex Stockholder wasn't registered at any of them.
So where was he?
Oh, he was there. In every one of those hotels. He simply changed his name. But as a man of habit, he stuck with his monogram, A.S. There was an Alan Stratton at the Dominion, an Arnold Stevens at the McDonald. Alfred Simons had left the Sifton just ahead of the police.
For?
Gambling. And we just happened to have an Adam Sterling back there in the cells who's charged
with... The guy you arrested.
And who now admits to being Alex Stockholder.
He's here?
Thank you, Sergeant.
Eileen, he's here.
I know. The sergeant told me he's right downstairs.
I hope you don't mind, Becker.
So he couldn't meet you?
The sergeant also told me he was arrested for gambling.
I'm afraid so.
He was a gambler before he came to Canada. I knew he was, but I was a fool.
Would you like to see him?
Does he know I'm here?
I have to tell him.
He'd like to see you.
Why? I haven't anything else to give him.
You don't want to see him?
I don't think so.
Can I tell him anything?
Tell him there's no more money. Tell him I burnt it. Tell him I'm going to get a position and I'm going to settle accounts, my accounts, with Mr. Becker's hotel. Tell him I'm getting on with it. Tell him that. I'd like him to know that.
That's a story.
You write it up, Fiona. But don't use my name. Write about Mrs. Stockholder. She doesn't exist anymore. She won't mind.
What do you think?
I sound like a hero.
Told you.
If I were this quick-witted, Hickey would give me a raise.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Cynic.
You think so?
been wondering if I exploited Eileen. I mean, perhaps I enjoyed getting her story too much.
Yeah, you kept her name out of it.
That's appropriately noncommittal. You look to be having a pretty good time yourself.
There's nothing like an eager student to wake you up.
Or a little competition.
Yes, perhaps that too.
No perhaps about it, Becker.
Just heard The Long, Long Trail, Episode 9 of Becker, written by Martin Kinch. In the cast, Andy Maton was Becker, with Stephen Hare as Hickey, and Natasha Gurgis as Fiona. Kathy Shane was Truly, and Daryl Shuttleworth was Sergeant Drake. Gordon Signer was Jimmy, Marie Barron was Miss Watts, and Shauna Baird was Aileen. The music was arranged and conducted by Miles Jackson. The recording engineer is Bob Doble, with sound effects by Uta Shafflin. The production assistant is Christine Story. Becker is produced and directed in Calgary by Martin Fishman. Our executive producer in Toronto is Bill Howell. For the Mystery Project, I'm Bob Bolting.